New York City now has its third Superfund site, the former location of the Wolf Alport Chemical Company in Ridgewood, Queens. We're joined now by Nate Levy, a video producer for The New Yorker, who's produced a film and infographic about the radioactivity, the radioactive property. And we have a link to it on our show page. I'm very pleased to welcome him to our program today. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Is there much surprise that this property joins Newtown Creek and the Gowanus Canal as New York's third Superfund site?
No, not really. This had been expected. The regional EPA office had proposed the site a few months ago, and so this was expected.
But it's very different from the other two, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. The other two are toxic sites, and this is New York's only active radioactive Superfund site.
Now, chemical work began at the site in 1918, but they weren't doing radioactive materials then, were they?
No. Shortly after the chemical company that operated there in the late teens and early 20s, they started producing rare earth metals, and those are used in a variety of industrial contexts, mostly as additives to steel and lighter flints. But a byproduct of that process is thorium, which is radioactive. And at that time, they took their thorium byproduct and dumped it into the city sewer system.
They just wash it down the drain?
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, rare earth metals are the sorts of things that have become important today because they're used in cell phones, they're used in a lot of computers as well. What were they used for then?
They had a pretty wide array of applications. As I mentioned, they were additives to steel, so steel plates. And the company actually specialized in cerium production, which had special applications in lighters that were especially useful after World War One.
Who owned the site originally?
So the first chemical company that operated there was owned and operated by the Hirsch brothers, Marx and Al Ken Hirsch, who were both from Corpus Christi, Texas. And they were chemical engineers who specialized in this rare earth metals production. But in the early 20s, they sold it to two men who worked for them, Harry Wolf and Max Alport, who then founded the Wolf Alport Chemical Company.
And were they unaware that thorium was radioactive and could be rather dangerous?
They would have known that thorium is radioactive. That's been known for quite some time. But they probably didn't have a good idea of how dangerous the chemicals that they were handling were.
And when did the U.S. government become interested in the extra thorium from the site in Queens?
That's actually pretty interesting. So after the end of World War II, the Atomic Energy Commission sort of went around trying to buy up as much uranium and thorium as possible. And that's when they came across Wolf Alport and some other rare earth metals production companies.
When they were pouring that stuff down the drain, did that spread? Has the contamination gone beyond the sewer system?
So they poured most of it into the sewer. It's pretty localized to that block. They also apparently buried some of it in the yard beside the shop. So there are about three buildings that are kind of localized on top of that site, and there are elevated radiation levels there. And the EPA is looking beyond that to other blocks to see what the levels are there, too.
Wasn't the United States interested in thorium as part of its nuclear program? When
Yeah.
did they lose interest in it?
Yeah, so in 1955, actually, at the Nevada test site, during a top-secret nuclear weapons test called Operation Teapot, the Army actually detonated a weapon that was a composite of plutonium and uranium-233, which is a type of uranium bred from thorium. In the 60s, they did some experiments at the Oak Ridge National Laboratory with an experimental nuclear reactor. But basically, in the 70s, thorium had faded from view, and nuclear interests, both military and civilian, had coalesced around uranium and plutonium.
But the Wolf Alport Company folded even earlier, in 1954.
Yeah, so their last shipment to the AEC was in 1954, and they sent something like 238 drums of this thorium sludge to the AEC.
And then did just some other company take over the site?
It's a little unclear what happened in those early years after they closed down. Currently, There is an auto body shop that is housed in the former building, and beside it is a deli, and on the other side of it is a construction company.
Well, how much radiation are workers at the auto body shop exposed to over the course of a year?
Well, so we should be pretty clear about this. The amount of residual radiation is pretty low, especially when you compare it to nuclear disasters that we're all familiar with. But the estimated dose from a hotspot at the auto body shop is something like 300 millirem a year. And we could compare that to maybe 30 chest x-rays in a single year.
So that would be as much as somebody who works at a nuclear power plant or even more?
There's a regulatory limit for the amount of radiation that a nuclear power worker can experience in a single year, and it's higher than that.
So at least officially, these people have not been put into danger. But have any protections been put into place? Is it shielded in any way?
Right. So, yeah, the radiation levels there are fairly low, but they are elevated. And so the EPA, as part of its initial phase of the Superfund process, has installed some concrete and lead shielding over sort of the most concerning hotspots around the auto body shop and the construction company.
Well, it must be a serious problem. Otherwise, the EPA wouldn't want to declare it a Superfund site.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, oftentimes these sort of toxic areas and processing companies aren't directly in people's neighborhoods, but we're talking about Ridgewood, Queens. You know, there are thousands of people who live very, very close to it, and so the EPA has an interest in cleaning that up.
And are there schools and other places of concern that would be near the site?
Yeah, so only about 900 feet to the south, there's a daycare center and a public school.
And have people gone around with Geiger counters to see what kind of radiation is present there?
Yeah, they have done studies farther to the south. But really, the localized radiation is at the auto body shop and on that block specifically.
Will you tell me where it is? Because I probably never would want to take my car to that place.
It's on Irving Avenue in Ridgewood, Queens. It's pretty close to the Cemetery of the Evergreens. But we should be clear that, you know, the customers at that site really don't have much to worry about. It's people who are spending long-term amounts of time there, who could be exposed to greater doses of radiation.
And how many people work at that auto body shop? And what do the owners think about this whole thing? They're going to have to move.
Yeah, so the people that I spoke with at the auto body shop know a lot about the radiation. They have a good understanding of the health risk there, and they understand that while they wouldn't want the equivalent of 30 x-rays a year, they also know that there's not a huge link or direct link to cancer, for example. But that said, when the EPA was installing the shielding this December, it caused a pretty significant disruption for business there. And it's likely that the remediation efforts that are going to have to happen in the future are going to cause an even bigger inconvenience for them.
And what would that be? They obviously tear down the building, and then what else?
Well, that's the big question. So today the EPA finalized the site, so they have the power to begin large-scale remediation efforts, but it's not clear what exactly they're going to do. So in the past, what they've done is excavate soil next to contaminated facilities. And it's possible that they might tear down one or more of these buildings, but the EPA hasn't said that so far.
If it makes it, well, it's a Superfund site now. Do we know who's going to have to pay for the cleanup?
Well, that's also part of the Superfund process. The EPA is charged with trying to determine if there's any potentially responsible parties. So that means that looking back at the historical record to see if there are any companies that exist at the moment that might actually hold the liability for the contamination that's there currently. And the EPA hasn't listed anyone, but in our research, we were able to determine that these two brothers, Marx and Alcan Hirsch, who had operated there in the 19-teens and 20s, went off to form a mining corporation, which was eventually purchased by Chevron. So it's possible that Chevron may hold the liability for some of the contamination at the Wolf Outport site.
Doesn't Chevron also hold some liability for the Superfund site at Newtown Creek because of the oil spill there?
I think that's right. I do think that's right, yes.
Well, Chevron's going to be cleaning up a lot of New York. Do we know if there are other radioactive sites in the city?
Yeah, so actually there's a number of sites that kind of dot the five boroughs. There's a site in Staten Island just underneath the Bayonne Bridge where a warehouse once stood, and that held the uranium for the actual bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima. And then the other side of Staten Island is Great Kills Park, where a landfill is, and that contains a lot of medical waste, and there's elevated radiation levels there. On top of these baseball fields, which have been closed for a couple of years.
You've produced a video for The New Yorker. How did that come about? By the way, we have a link to it on our show page at WNYC.org.
Well, The New Yorker is invested in telling great stories, both in print and in video. We do a lot of video content, but this is sort of the first big time that we've invested in telling a big multimedia story. So I worked with the infographics and arts department to produce this.
And in it, you have all sorts of interesting charts and things to explain just what this whole situation involves?
Yeah, that's correct. So we really wanted to make it clear the level of radiation that's present at the site. So we sort of begin with an explanation of how much is there and what we can compare that to. But then as you move out and compare that to like a full body CT scan or radiation therapy and then move out even farther to the sort of nuclear disasters that we're all familiar with, it becomes pretty clear that the Wolf Outport site, the radiation levels there are fairly minimal, still serious, but minimal.
And this site was named a Superfund site this very morning, so you were ahead of the curve. Nate Levy, video producer for The New Yorker, the film and infographic are available through a link on our show page at WNYC.org. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you.